Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the newest episode of Watching Stuff. We are still currently on our every week schedule as we try to get a lot of stuff in before we have a Deadpool episode. Mm-hmm. I am one of your hosts, as always, Monty Moore, and I'm joined by both Aaron and Dusty. Guys, how are you?
Good. It's so nice seeing you guys every week.
Right.
So,
wow. Jesus yeah. Christ. Not me then.
That was authentic. We are wrapping up the MCU Spider-Man trilogy. So we're doing Spider-Man No Way Home this week. We have mixed reviews about this. I mean, I obviously really like this, but it's a nostalgia bomb. Like, That's how it was designed. You could kind of tell that's where, like, they wanted that. Like, I think this is really when leaks started being like a huge part of like Marvel content. Like, I mean, obviously they're always a thing, right? But I feel like once the is Andrew Garfield in this, is Tobey Maguire in this, like once those leaks started, now everything is leaked like crazy.
Yeah. Right.
That's coming out, which I have mixed views about that because like it's kind of cool, but it also kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm. I would rather be surprised in the moment. I don't want to be surprised when I'm doom scrolling Twitter at 3 a.m. Like, yeah. I would rather be surprised in the theater when I'm watching it. Granted, I did not watch this in theaters, which is a bummer because I think it would have been fun. But I watched it when I was doing my watch through at home. And I was initially disappointed. I don't think it's bad by any means. I think it's good, but the hype around this movie was wild. It was very much like people saying it was like better than Endgame, like kind of a situation, or just as good, or and like better than like Winter Soldier. And I was like, okay, this is gonna be an amazing, amazing movie. And I was like, oh, it was good. And I felt really disappointed with it, like in my first watch. I enjoyed it better watching it now. Just because I didn't have those expectations that it was going to be the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. And I enjoyed it a lot more, kind of with my expectations being accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the third time I watched it. I was the same way with you, Aaron, the first time, because I watched it. So it came out, this was one, I think, had a very short theatrical run. And so I waited until it came out on VOD, watched on Disney Plus or whatever. I was with you. I heard greatest movie of all time. And we talked about the other Spider-Man movies on here. I was a big fan of the other, you know, especially the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies and that first Garfield one I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
You know,
you mean the only Garfield one? There's only one.
There's two.
Totally only one.
Well, but even that one, you know, had one of my favorite scenes in all the Spider-Man movies, which was him skateboarding to Coldplay. You know, you can't top that. You can.
I kind of like the wound fluid scene.
Oh, that was, man.
Yeah,
it was amazing for me. But yeah, so I love these movies. The first two in this series were great. It was fun seeing them again. But yeah, the first time I watched it, this was the first time. I feel like we've mentioned this a bunch of times. We're like, there's this narrative now that a lot of Marvel movies look samey and a lot of the stuff looks a little muddied. This was the first time we were watching this one. And when they're down in like Wizard's Dungeon or whatever it was that NK says, and it's supposed to look dark, there's a like disconnected darkness, muddiness to that scene, to a handful of scenes in this movie. I'm like, okay, that looks weird. And so overall, like, I think I like it. I don't think it touches the first two Spider-Man movies in the series. Even on the third time watching it with my expectations lowered, I will get into some of my annoyances down the road. But it's a fun movie. But after we were talking about it, Monty, even a little before you came on, that second movie, some of the action scenes and the swinging scenes are so good in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's not and much
the Mysterio, of that. Like the Mysterio. How
like,
crisp
they were. So good. Like the last fight scene here is amazing. There's not anything else memorable about the action in this movie to me, which sucks because the first two, I think, were so good at that.
Well, you got the Green Goblin apartment fight. That's
which really is good. Fine, but that felt too long. Like it was a lot. Entirely too long.
Well, I kind of liked it though, because looking back at the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, they feel a little bit more not realistic. I don't know how to phrase it, but like I feel like they're a little more campy kind of feel, if that like makes
sense. Raimi, it's the comic booky stuff. Yeah.
Right. It feels more like I'm watching like a comic book. And that to me, I didn't know that Green Goblin was like that powerful, because again, this is 20 years later, so we're talking about better fight scenes, better choreography. And so yeah. like he's kicking his ass. And I was like, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Fight like that, like,
you don't remember shirtless Willem Dafoe coming out of his little super soldier thing doing his little pose? You don't recall that, Aaron?
Sorry, I just remember that ass. But like, I was like, holy shit, like that. So I kind of liked it, because for someone like me that has not read the comics, I was like, oh, okay, here we're seeing like what he can actually do and why he's like kind of a powerful guy. But
we'll say Dafoe came into this movie. He'd been doing, I think, some serious stuff before this. Dafoe came into this movie and watched that first Spider-Man movie he was in. He was like, "All right, we're amping this up. All of the insanity, I'm amping
up." Iconic. Like,
every time he's on screen, he's just chewing scenery like crazy. Yeah. It's tremendous.
He's arguably the best part of this movie, because he just like walked right back into it. Like he never left.
Oh, and
I will say, both with him and Alfred Molina, the de-aging they do on them is really, really good.
Yeah.
Molina looks great.
It doesn't have that kind of like weird, uncanny valley. Like, remember when they did it to Robert Downey Jr. when he was, showing barf?
That's what made Mysterio. That's what pissed Mysterio off.
Yeah, it just looked so weird and like so off. Yeah. So, like, it was way better in this. It was a $200 million budget, but what I found was interesting is I saw this article that said, even without adjusting for inflation, it had a smaller budget than Spider-Man 3, which came out in 2007, which is crazy. Because Spider-Man,
that movie was ass.
Well, because you need a dance choreographer. That cost a lot.
Spider-Man 3 was $258 million.
Was it really?
Yeah,
that was like insane. That was some of that was for the teeth, for the Venom teeth, right?
Yeah.
There was some of that. Yeah. No, that all adds up.
Dental work's expensive.
Harry's weird ass snowboard glider.
Probably... half the budget.
They actually built it for realism.
Has to be real.
But we talk about like the movie's holding up. I mean, obviously this is only 3 years old, but it's currently right now, it's sitting at an 8.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And then Google got it at 88% of users liked. So, I mean, it's doing well past its initial theatrical run and, first couple of years. But it feels absolutely like this was a movie made for theaters, like, right, how they do some of like the pausing in the scenes.
Oh, I was gonna bring that up. We just met Matt Murdock. When he catches that brick, they hold for applause for 20 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, it's a long thing. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There and it is.
And in my head, I'm like replaying the big moments in the theater, and they were electric. Even like I saw this in the theater 3 times, I think, and the third time was specifically, I was like, it was towards the end of the run, and I was like, I want to go see this with people that maybe haven't, like, I want to be in the theater with people that maybe haven't seen it yet to still get those reactions. Mm-hmm. Like, cause those never get old. Like those always feel
just
awesome.
Just chasing that dragon.
I need another hit.
Monty, why are you shaking? Got to get back to theater.
I'm passed out in the chair.
What one of my favorite parts of this movie is, I like the Doctor Strange Spider-Man fight. I like the Avengers fighting Avengers kind of vibe. Like, I think that because you're talking about people that you feel like are quote unquote equally matched. And I know we saw it in Civil War, but that's what made Civil War so fun. Like, that fight scene so fun was because they're like fighting each other and you're like, oh my God, they're using their powers on each other. And I really enjoyed like that back and forth, because we just don't get that a ton.
I'm also down for any mirror dimension fight. Is something I am 1,000% signing
up for. It's always great.
That stretch, it's not as good, obviously, as the Mysterio illusion stuff, but it's on that level where it's done very smooth, and like, we hadn't seen the mirror dimension in a long time. Mm-hmm. That was one of the best parts of Doctor Strange 1, right? So, that was really cool. And I like that they One of my complaints sometimes about, and they do a better job of this in the MCU movies than they did in the Raimi movies or the Amazing movies, is you sometimes forget like how much of a genius Peter actually is. Like they don't really lean into it until it's like he's got to build something, or you know what I mean? Like this is,
and him, then he doesn't even get to explain it. He just builds it and you're just like, oh, okay.
this is him figuring out like the mirror dimensions geometry, and he's doing that on the fly in his head. Like I thought that part was pretty cool.
Yeah. Math is cool.
Stay in school, kids.
Yeah, don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Go to the theater instead of doing drugs.
I didn't say all that.
Get high on life and also the reactions in the Spider-Man movies.
I like that this starts immediately after the second movie.
Oh, yeah. Because I watched them back to back, actually.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Because I was watching them in chronological order. So it was like, boom, boom. And I was like, perfect. Yeah. So, yeah, I like that we get J. Jonah Jameson as Alex Jones in this one throughout the movie, not just the end. Like, I also thought that they really wasted an opportunity to have an end credit scene of J. Jonah Jameson from the original, like the Tobey Maguire universe, be pulled in and like him interacting with the Alex Jones J. Jonah Jameson. I was like, that should have been an end credit theme.
Well, no, because
they were just like, here's a trailer for the next movie, here you go,
right?
Yeah,
and then, like, a Madness trailer, here you go.
But remember what we said before, where we're like, he's so good at it, he's like a Nexus character, so it's him, he's the same,
like he's traveling the multiverse.
Yeah, he's the same person in every universe. He projects
his one person across the multiverse. Yeah.
right, that would have,
when they show him, when they put his face like on blast in the billboards and everything, when they show him like half Spider-Man, half Peter Parker, mm-hmm. I always think that's cool, because like in the old comics, that's how they draw him.
Yeah,
when like he's not in costume and he has like spider sense, you always get the things spider happening sense,
yeah
it shows like half of his face in a mask, so I thought that was pretty cool.
You also get like a Rogers the musical billboard, like just right behind there in the movie,
in that very opening
before
scene.
Or after Hawkeye?
It's during the Rogers run, so yeah, it must have been either during or after.
Because
the release, not like during the timeline. Oh.
this movie takes place.
Yeah, it was on Broadway at this time, you idiot.
And, like, you didn't see it. Summer. You didn't see it during the run. You simply must.
So, like, I know this came out in December, and I guess Hawkeye probably was before that. Then, like,
yeah, so like
leading December. Up to
Yeah, Hawkeye was already out, or had been out, because that's where we saw Rogers the musical first.
Got it. And as Dusty pointed out, you see Howard Stark on the wall in the mural of like scientists.
Hank Pym's back there too.
See him.
And Aaron, I think you pointed out Erskine is back.
Erskine's back there.
Yeah, which I just think is a kind of a fun.
Hey, there's Hank Pym right in the back.
There he is.
Yeah, right there.
How funny.
Someone told someone what he kind of looked like. You're like, well, just it didn't look exactly like him. Right. It's just enough, which captures the high school mural part of it. Which I really
why enjoy. Are Howard Stark's eyes so close together? It's like, yep, that was drawn from memory.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they couldn't like project it and trace it up there.
the art school one day, they were just like, all right, we're painting the mural. Like, I've had those in my school. They nailed how it looks. Like, the one thing I don't like about this movie, and there's so much going on, there's not a good way to do it. I love so much. We talked about this in the second movie. I love Hannibal Buress was not in the second one, but he's so good in the first one.
Yeah.
But, J.B. Smoove and Martin Starr are so good in two. You get them for this one tiny 30-second scene with the shrine, which is great. They play off each other so well, and you don't see them again. I know it's bigger than that, but I missed their presence kind of coming in.
I think that kind of signifies, like the stakes are so big that we don't spend any time with the non-Ned and MJ normal human characters.
Because we get very little of Flash Thompson, except for that he wrote a book and he somehow got into MIT.
We don't need the Flash Thompson. We don't need him in this movie.
Right.
Yeah, he whatsoever. Doesn't have to be in this.
Cut him out of this
movie. I mean, the only thing he provides is an opportunity for him to find out where the Chancellor is. But I'm like, he could have figured that out any other way. He could have Googled it probably and found out she was doing a presentation.
A flyer just flew out in front of him out of nowhere in a car. And he's like, oh man, they're having this mixer. I gotta get down there. Look, I just replaced Flash Thompson.
That the Wait. The music, the like, I don't, I didn't have time to go back and listen to it like side by side, but in the scene where it's like where they're finding out they didn't get in, that song or like the tone of it literally sounds like the from Tony's monologue in Endgame at the end. Like the music sounds really similar. And I was like, I wonder, but I didn't have time to go back and like watch that scene. But it's, I was like, it seemed very close and it makes sense because like obviously we're still kind of linking Peter Parker to Tony Stark, right? So I thought that was kind of, I wonder if they did that on purpose.
Yeah. They ran over budget, then we got to recycle some music.
Throw that Endgame track on.
Just roll it. I one note that I wrote was because like after like May dies and they're like, oh, we need to find Peter. Where would he be? And they're like, I hung out at the Empire State Building. He's like, I hung out at the Chrysler Building.
Oh, Chrysler Building.
Like, where is he again? And then he's like, where would he be? Nerds on top of a fucking school? Like, what a dweeb. That's his favorite place to
this
hang
is
out.
Where I almost kissed MJ.
But you do have to remember, right? Because he's still. Andrew and Toby are like now more adults, right? And they've always been in the actual city. Right. Peter's never really been outside of Queens.
Well, but even then, but like in Amazing Spider-Man, like Garfield is like, he's exploring the city. He is still, he's sitting on these places that Peter simply has not been.
Yeah, he's never seen, he's never been downtown New York.
Although I guess
very briefly in Infinity War.
Because remember, a lot of the first one took place in DC and the second one, he was in Paris or whatever. Right. So he didn't get a chance to do all this.
Only time he was downtown was in Infinity War, and he was there for 10 minutes and then was in space the rest of the
movie. That's true. I thought it was going to be on top of the bridge originally. I was like, oh yeah, because he was hanging out there with MJ a couple times. And school, little fucking nerd.
This is where I go to cut classes. We know. We know why you're up here.
In that same scene, they're trying to like make him feel better about like his choices or whatever. And Tobey Maguire said, "I wanted him dead, and I got what I wanted." Talking about the guy that shot Ben, and I'm like, "You killed him, actually. Why did you word it like that?"
Did he though?
All right.
Yeah, I mean, he stumbled backwards.
You know? It was kind of the fall. It was kind of the fall that killed
you
him.
You can't prove it. But it was just funny. I was like, oh,
he's looking around as he says it. Like, just got what
he's,
I wanted.
He's reading off of like a paper that his lawyer gave him.
I can either confirm nor deny the actual events that took place. Right. I can tell you that the man is now dead.
Yeah.
I like that he decides to walk to the Sanctum Sanctorum. Like, why wouldn't he just?
Everybody knows who he is now. Just do it.
Well, but he's
swinging. Yeah, but would that be a bigger reason?
Yeah, like, we've seen him swinging without the suit. Just swing through the city.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who.
Don't be walking around. Like.
Right.
I like
no one. Once again, no one on the streets of New York City.
Yeah.
Not a soul.
Pretty empty. Well, it might be school is in session.
Yeah.
School and work.
For everyone.
Nobody's outside.
That's a good point. Because if you go to New York in the middle of the day, it's pretty dead. There's no
one. Yeah, there's not. Never seen anybody there between 9 and 5.
Right. I like that Wong is now the Sorcerer Supreme. Like they just dropped that nugget in here, which makes sense because they're like, well, Doctor Strange was gone for 5 years. So.
Which, why is the Sorcerer Supreme like fixing street fights against the Abomination?
They need money, man. They're poor. Look at this. They don't have any money.
I feel like there gotta be something more important going on at all times than teaching
Doctor Strange how to do a spell. Like maybe
that was an infuriating scene. I'm like, why is nobody taking 5 minutes? I mean, I know why. This is like where like watching it is just infuriating. But like, I'm like, well, take 5 minutes. Everybody, take a breath. Write down what you want the spell to be. And then, like,
or from Doctor Strange,
different rooms.
From Strange's perspective, what is it going to do? Because that was that, like, okay, Peter shouldn't be shouting at him. Oh, we also want this person, not this. He's doing the spell. He's in the middle of doing the spell. Has not said a word about what it's going to be. And as he's doing, he's like, "All right, he's spinning the thing around. Get ready for everyone to find out you're not Spider-Man." He's like, "What? He couldn't have. Dude looked into 14 million different like possible futures, but he can't like think for 3 minutes. I wonder if I should tell this irrational high school kid what's going to happen in this spell. Right. Because then even then he's like, it's a touchy spell. It's a touchy spell. And he was like, well, what about Ned? And he goes, what's a Ned? And he's like, whoop. And then like, he pulls Ned's memory out. Like, how technical is this spell in the first place? You're like, oh, you're just he doesn't know who MJ is. He just pulls her out. Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
well, after the second audible, I feel like you'd be like, all right,
shut her down.
Until, like, get a pen and paper. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. And you write down everyone that you want to remember is Spider-Man. That's it.
You get three people. You sit down. It's not even unlimited. You get 5 minutes. You get three people.
No, I think what they eventually settled on was a good deal. It was just like whoever didn't know before doesn't know now. There's got to be just a way that he could just do that. And that's what they settled on. But he'd already
even if, like, for the sake of the story, there isn't, you could still say, okay, I can do this, but it's 3 to 5 people I can do. Like, those are the parameters of this spell because magic has weird parameters.
Right.
You get this many people, and then you got to think about that. Instead, he just keeps going. He's like, oh, man, oh, this spell's getting out of control. What you said this person to? What are you doing, man?
So
that's why
what about the guy at Starbucks who knows my order? Keep him in there.
Well, before the moral kid, then again, the spell was like, I don't want anyone to remember I'm Spider-Man. Does it wipe out, like, because everyone's going to forget. It was a forgetting spell, essentially, right? Yeah. Is what they said, it's a forgetting spell. Does it wipe out media on InfoWars YouTube of J. Jonah Jameson going like, this man is Spider-Man? I don't.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It probably doesn't get rid of all media, I would imagine.
And that was like what I was a little confused on. Like, I guess it just wipes people's memory of like Peter Parker at the end, because like they were showing pictures from their trip to Europe in the post-credit scene. Did you guys get that post-credit scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I couldn't
remember. I feel like in order to potentially, like, because it is kind of a plot hole in a way, but you could kind of explain it as you don't know who Peter Parker is at all. So like if you see him in a video or something,
right,
you're like, but
if there's a video really that is saying Peter Spider-Man's still around,
right,
if there's a video that exists, everyone's memory's wiped. I've seen a video of this kid, I don't know who this is, and the next minute it's like Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Like, oh man, all right.
I would imagine that kid's Spider-Man. Wipes out that video would be my
guess. You'd have to wipe out.
Yeah, I know. We're getting into the Simpsons territory.
Oh, I know, but like with as much as he says, like, it's a simple forgetting spell.
Oh, right. It's like
it's clearly
not fucking.
We see it's something bigger than that.
Yeah.
So that's my issue with it. And if it's bigger than that, take a breath before you do it and figure out what you're doing.
So the other question I had, and I think I know the answer, but I want to double check, is that like people know who Spider-Man is, right? Like they still know, like, so he could go to Doctor Strange and be like, hey, I'm Spider-Man. And he would be like, oh, okay. Like, and it he would know who he is.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure, like, he's not like in a situation where he does not know who Spider-Man is at all.
No, because
like,
it's still
Spider-Man exists, right?
Spider-Man's like, still in the city because he's still doing stuff at the end.
Well, yeah, I mean, in people's minds, like, they know who Spider-Man is, right? Well,
isn't that the video, even at the end of J. Jonah Jameson, like, if you were Spider-Man, take off your mask. So, like, he's still very much a thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call. Okay. Yeah. That did explain it.
Which yeah, then you're like, you walk in and be like, oh, you know how Spider-Man's one of the Avengers? You take off your mask, look, I'm Peter Parker, I'm Spider-Man. Oh, cool. Okay.
All right.
Problem solved.
Yeah, but obviously, obviously MJ would not be like, they're just not in each other.
Yeah, because the people who knew Peter Parker, that's the bigger issue then.
Right, personal relationships. But yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure I was following.
You could still probably get with MJ pretty easily by going like,
I know.
Hey, look, I'm Spider-Man. I'm ordering coffee at your place. You
right.
Got a picture together. There's pictures of us together. Do you wanna go and do something?
Right. Imagine that, like, he walks into that coffee shop and he like starts telling her like, oh, and then like, because he had that whole thing rehearsed and he pulls out pictures and shit. I would be more like, that would be terrifying. I'd be like
oh, wow, you're a stalker.
Here's us when we were like, when we were walking in the streets. Here's us. Here's a picture I took of you from a bridge. This is all normal stuff that I have.
like convincing. We're totally in a relationship. And she's like, no, we're not. Like, no. Like, it's like for sure crazy. crazy stalker territory. But he'd be in jail.
Okay, listen, I'm going too far down the path now because all I'm thinking was then the shrine in high school, right? If the pictures still exist, obviously the videos wiped out, but there's still pictures of Peter Parker. There's a shrine in the high school of Peter Parker who now no one in the school knows. And Spider-Man in the same shrine together. The people are gonna be like, "What the hell is this? why is this here? This doesn't make any sense."
Maybe they get, maybe it's blipped.
Just a half-empty shrine of Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's been an ungodly amount of time.
It makes no sense to me.
So I love seeing Dr. Ock again, Doc Ock.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they lean into him like being like the good guy of the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I always like his, I mean, Spider-Man 2 is like everybody's favorite anyways, but like, I really enjoyed him, as a villain. Like he was like a father that like Peter never got to grow up with. So like, you just love seeing that relationship. And that was, so it was harder to like watch him turn into a villain. It was just much more heart-wrenching. So I love that they immediately put him back into that exact same role, that they wrote him very well into this, because where I have like the issues is like Peter's clearly trying to fix everybody, and I'm like, you know, when you fix Green Goblin, he was still kind of an asshole, like of a human being, like of a person. So like, I don't know like what we're like, this isn't worth the effort here, like, just, you know, he's a shitty father, like a piece of shit, corporate greed asshole. Like, we're not losing anything.
He's not like, you're not dropping him back in. He's like going to be like a boon to society. Like,
a philanthropist.
right. But I'm super happy that like, yeah, he just kind of fell right back into that kind of fatherly, like nice guy.
Yeah. And Molina was so good at that. So yeah, I love that they didn't waste a ton of time with that he was the first one to fix. He was the helper, and it was still like the Peter, my boy. Like, he's just, it's, he was so good in that. I absolutely love him. I do have a nerd question. My nerd question is, okay, if he fixes them and he fixes them, right? It's all like the moment before their death.
Yes.
When they send back, is this like a branch off a multiverse where then Spider-Man is spared, or like suddenly Doc Ock is like, oh, I'm nice now, but then he drowns anyway because the building's flooded. Like,
I thought that with Electro. I'm like, he said that he was like gathering electric power. He's going to go back and get electrocuted.
He was like, he's holding on to wires. He goes back all happy and just gets immediately fried, like just deader than dead.
I would imagine like it either puts them back into before they turn, or would imagine that like it's before, like it's able to be resolved, obviously. I mean, but
it couldn't be like, it has to at the very least, it branches into a multiverse, right? Because it can't, like, you've got the Spider-Man now in this universe and they're older. It's not suddenly going to be like, oh, now they're in a universe where Green Goblin and Dr. Octopus and Sandman all exist and are nice people,
right? Yeah,
right. One, like, you can't have that, so they'd all like be branching multiverse stuff at that point.
Well, like we learned in Loki, right? Whenever you make changes, like, you, it creates another timeline, so that's probably.
Yeah, that's probably what
I happens. Just think most of them are going back and are immediately dead. Just immediately dead.
I had that same thought too. Because they were getting very detailed with how like the moments they were like gone. And I was like, this is getting like, or do we want like that? I feel like they're gonna be in more pain.
They just died a nicer person, like a more realized person, and they died anyway.
It's more tragic now.
Yeah.
More terrible.
I have something that gives the society, and then it still just gets impaled on his glider all the same. It doesn't ultimately doesn't matter.
The one thing that I didn't get though is I don't know why Electro got pulled in, because he never learned who Spider-Man was.
He does
in Amazing Spider-Man 2, he never finds out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
I didn't even pick up on that. I didn't even think about that.
Didn't even think about that either.
We know in the movies when all the other characters find out, right? And in the first one, Willem Dafoe finds out because he has a cut on his arm.
Old lady pushed him down.
Bike messenger.
Bike messenger. Yeah, knocked him down.
And then Spider-Man 2, Peter shows Dr. Octopus that it's him at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spider-Man 3, Sandman knows because mm-hmm. they're on good terms, right?
He just pulls off his mask.
Right, all just the time. Hey, what up?
You just give him no shit.
Peter Parker. Nice.
And then we already talked about how the lizard finds out because he takes the camera with his fucking name on the back.
Put printed a label on it like he's a 5-year-old child.
But then, yeah, in Amazing Spider-Man 2, we never find out. Electro never finds out that that's who it is.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Someone got fired for that blunder. I sincerely hope someone got fired for that blunder.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
That's interesting.
His black and gold suit is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's really
the
inside out suit.
Yeah, I love that suit. It is so badass. I wish we could see more in daylight.
It's kind of like a homage to in the comics. Like, there's a while that he like loses his spider sense, so he has to build a suit that's basically like indestructible and bulletproof. And that was black and gold. So I was kind of like, wonder if they kind of did that on purpose.
That's awesome. Cause yeah, I very much enjoyed it. I Googled it after I like saw it because I wanted another look at it, and it's pretty sweet.
He goes through a lot of suits in this movie, actually.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, he does. Because he like right now we're watching the
nanotech. Still got Iron Spider. Yeah, Iron Spider, and then mm-hmm. black and gold. Then
it has like his original look. Sorry, original looking suit at the end.
Flipped inside out.
Yep.
So it's got the black and red one, mm-hmm. and then the enhanced one when he gets the nanotech back, mm-hmm. and then finally, obviously, the one we'll talk about at the end.
Yeah. I like what is the nostalgia, like the fan service in this one is off the charts. The amount of like quotes that they kind of go back to. I'm something of a scientist myself. And I'm like, oh, he said it. The one that drove me crazy though was when May said she butchered the original line. Like they wrote it differently. She doesn't say with great power comes great responsibility. She says it oddly, and I'm like,
she actually says it the most accurate because
For the comics.
Yeah, so like the first thing Spider-Man was ever in, which is like I think The Amazing Fantasy, I think it was like number 15 or whatever. I don't know if that's the exact number, but it was Amazing Fantasy. But at the end, the last panel is with great power, there must also come great responsibility.
So it's
technically the most accurate one.
Yeah, but I feel like with all the quotes from the original series, she should have just said the one that we all know and love.
I feel like they chose that on purpose to like, because we never got the Uncle Ben moment or the line yet until now. So like for a 3-movie payoff, they're like, we're going to do where the line originated from. Like we're going to use that more line.
Which makes more sense now that I know that for sure.
I do think they try to mix it up a little bit just so like, well, it's different in every universe. Like we have to modify this slightly.
But you don't. Like you literally had him quote and say the exact thing of I'm something of a scientist myself. The exact same phrase.
Well, memes are eternal throughout the multiverse, obviously. The
thing that bugged me a little bit was it was too fan service-y. Like there's times one of my like all-time cringe moments watching a movie, and it's a movie I like was X-Men First Class. And then Cerebro on Professor X, and he's like, oh. Well, it's a good thing I'm not bald, and it's like this wink. That's what a lot of the stuff in here felt like. A lot of these jokes were like a bit too, like not even trying to be clever, like you said, Aaron, just straight up like, I'm something of a scientist myself. They didn't even try to sugarcoat that. There's not even a good reason for him to say it in that.
No, moment. There's
he
not.
Just, right. He just says it like they're just, it's almost like it's not clever. Like, oh, here's a line, bam, in your face. Here's a line, I'm going to throw this. Here's a scene, I'm going to throw this at you. It was almost, it was too much and just not clever enough for me to
like,
buy it.
Like, they're like talking, the three of them separately, and he like yells it across the room.
No, guys. also, like, excuse me.
Like, and he even like turns to just say it. Like he's minding his own business, and it's like he's just been activated to like say it, like from a trigger word.
I do like that they dropped the little that there's no Oscorp in the MCU. I thought that was
pretty interesting. Yeah, because I didn't even register that.
Yeah, when he's sitting there at feast with May, and he said, "There's Oscorp's gone. Somebody's living in my house." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh yeah, we haven't seen a. We don't have a Norman Osborn."
There's a, the outside of my apartment, the patio. It's still intact. It wasn't blown up by a bomb. I don't know what to do. My son would be alive if I had a son. I don't know what to do.
It's interesting the scenes where the villains are all like kind of kept in like their little cages or whatever the hell you call it. What drives me crazy, and we kind of talked about this before the show, was like the whole plot is basically that they all turn at the same time to kind of like say, like, you know what, fuck this. And I just want to know why Peter decided with just him and his mom. Him and his aunt take all of these fucking superpowered villains into Happy's small apartment and don't think maybe we should do this one at a fucking time. They leave one in a truck, like unattended downstairs. That to me was like such a bad plot, like point. I obviously, it felt like a lazy plot device. I was like, because we know that they're all like, he can't stop all of them at the same time. But I just wish I'm like, that to me was just like way too illogical of like, this is a terrible idea.
I like when Happy was like, is that a cyborg in my apartment? This guy made out of mud.
The mud one guy. Yeah, Happy's great. He's always great. Like, you can just tell John Favreau's just having a fucking blast.
Him telling them basically to hang up the phone. When him and MJ on the phone, he's like, "We get it, you like each other."
Yeah, nothing new's happening.
In a CPAP machine.
Just hang out.
Have you been listening? Unfortunately. Yeah. He's great. And I mean, they're kind of setting it up that, you know, he might be, you know, kind of still a part of the MCU a little bit. I don't know, because obviously they have that scene at the end. Or they're at May's grave. So I'm like, he at least establishes, like, I still know who Spider-Man, like, I guess, yeah, that answered my question too. Cause he does say that, like, Spider-Man. Yeah. Cause he said, I know her through Spider-Man. And so, like, they're kind of saying, oh, we still have these connections.
Know her through who?
He just knows Aunt May, but he doesn't know how.
He met at a singles event, I want to say.
Her death scene is pretty brutal.
Oh my gosh.
It's really heart-wrenching.
That I mean, that's like the best stretch of the movie, because like then you get that awesome scene of like Peter staring at like the Jumbotron with Jameson on there. And I think Tom Holland is like, I think this is Tom Holland's best of the three, and also John Favreau's best of the three.
Yeah.
Like, agreed. He's not in it as much as he is in the first two, but like he goes through a lot in this one, right? Because at the beginning,
May. I really like him in two. Like a lot of the moments he has.
He's really good in two, because obviously he's like integral to the, you know, to Spider-Man, like getting his wits back about him and all that. But it's like he goes through an arc in this one, right? Where it's like they break up at the beginning, and he's still like trying to, you know, keep that Stark tech under wraps, right? Then May dies, and then like he's got to come full circle with that.
Yeah, it's a journey. These guys have been through a lot of heartbreak because they had just lost Iron Man and now going through this. I definitely agree. Tom Holland's acting was the best in this. Like all of his emotions, like you feel it, like about how like angry he is, and I love that he is like beating the shit out of the Green Goblin at the end.
Oh yeah, those punches at the end. That fight is insane.
By all accounts, Goblin should not have a face anymore.
Yeah,
right. It reminded me of like the Tony and Cap fight scene. At the end of Civil War, like I was like, he's gonna get like for sure. And I love that like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man comes over and like stops it and like just looks at him, like he doesn't even say anything, he just like looks at him, like, and then of course he gets stabbed.
I love that they kind of like play with your emotions, because he's like, yeah, I've been stabbed before.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like they killed him off. Oh no, they didn't.
I love all the Peter banter, by the way. I really enjoy like the scaffolding scene when they're waiting. some of it's a little like the wink, wink, like, oh, you know, I have a back problem, because it's like my back, which I quote on the daily. If I have a back problem.
Yeah, that part's great, because that game, that gives you kind of the same vibes as, like, I said this before, like, I love just watching like superheroes, like, just hang out and chill. That's why, like, I'm a really big X-Men fan, because, like, so much of, like, the show and the comics is just them, like, hanging out at the mansion.
But it's just same vibes. They're not doing anything. It's just vibes.
They're just watching. They're watching TV. But yeah, because that's like in the Age of Ultron, right? At the party where they're trying to lift the hammer. It's like that kind of thing. Like, just gives you that short little, like,
they humanize. They don't always have to be doing something. They humanize.
Right. Right. Yeah, they humanize them a little bit.
I loved, because they do the whole, when they're at the scaffolding, those moments are great, because those actors are also great. And you can tell, like, Garfield especially seems like he's having an absolute blast.
Oh, yeah. He loved being able to do this
again. I love they're doing, they do, like, they botch the first thing, right? Because they don't know how to work together. They're like, what are we doing, man? We got to work together. Like, you're right. And then they go out and are just these perfectly manipulative. They're like, they're shooting their webs together at the same time and spinning each other around. Like, right. You didn't practice this. All you did was say, we got to be better. Like, right, we got to be better. And then they were better. Like, it was magic. It was a lot of fun. It was so dumb.
Right. It was like the Avengers fight at the end, like, where it's like, how are they all fucking working together? Like,
they got our guys. I did not think about the fact that we should be fighting better together. You're right.
Right.
You're right.
My bad. That's my bad. I thought we should phone it in. I really thought
I want to do my own thing and get in your way. That's on me. That's on me.
One of my favorite things is that they address, like, the elephant in the room of Tobey Maguire being able to shoot it out of his skin. Mm-hmm. Like, his skin sounds weird, but
just all his pores. Right.
Like, that's a question. Like, because that was something that I found. I thought that it was always out of, and I think we talked about that it was always out of his body. I was surprised to hear that, like, the comics, it's not out of his body.
Yeah, I think Raimi just was like, I don't want to have 1,000 scenes of him making web fluid.
Yeah, I don't want to watch him build web shooters, so.
Yeah, he'd rather have a lot of wound fluid.
No, that wasn't Raimi, that was the other guy.
That's right. Yeah, but I love that they address that, because we were talking in the group chat earlier about what Tom Holland was saying, of, like, he was definitely talking about, like, his dick, right? Where he was can you shoot out of other places?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Does that web go up all the way?
Yeah. I mean, a white liquid coming out of something, he was definitely thinking dick for sure.
I do like they're all fascinated, but then Garfield's like, I got to spend a lot of time making this. Somebody got to be in the lab.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was on purpose that they revealed Andrew Garfield first, because it's kind of universally accepted that he kind of got the short end of the stick with what happened to his movies. And this was kind of like his redemption arc, mm-hmm. not necessarily for the character, but for Andrew Garfield. So
yeah,
he was the first big reveal, right? Because even his had more fanfare than, like, Toby's did. Like,
if you get Maguire first and then, like, Garfield shows up, like, oh, we already
right,
saw
right.
And we, like,
because once you see one, you know the other one's in it.
Yeah.
So they give you him first as the big surprise, and then you got warm and fuzzies, and now you get Toby coming in, which more felt like a, oh yeah, he gets to be in these again. Like, we love this guy. Like, his movies were good. It's cool to see him again. Versus when you see Andrew Garfield, like, yes, finally gets to be in something better than he was the first time.
Well, I like Garfield gets his Gwen Stacy redemption moment with
MJ. He starts crying.
Man, that scene just got me. That was so well done. The way it was set up and everything. That was a tremendous scene.
Yeah, because, like, it's great, and then, like, him getting choked up just, like, ripped me to shreds.
And it's funny because MJ's so, like, why are you so choked up? Like, you could see on her face. She's weirdo. Like, calm down, man. This is what you're supposed to do. You're a superhero.
Get out of my universe you? Already.
you crying?
Yeah, put me down. Put me over there.
I almost just died. You're crying?
Did you want me to die? Are you disappointed? We're seeing Jamie Foxx, and I kind of opened, like, or I think I talked about it pre-show, like, Jamie Foxx's character is, like, completely different. Like, he's so much cooler in this.
Because this is when he does say, he's like, different universe, that makes, like, That, like, that I understand because I feel like the energy feels different. And it, like, he's, and his energy's yellow in this, right? Instead of the blue that it was. So, like, I kind of feel like they do it that way.
Did
but
the
I think
energy grow his hair back
and close the gap in his teeth.
Close the gap in his teeth.
Yeah. Now cool he doesn't energy. Need glasses anymore. It's like,
it probably is closer to it. It probably is closer to what Dusty said. That's why, like, if I'm going to be in this, like, just let me.
No, I think he legitimately was like, Fox. I'm not doing that again.
I know.
I'm
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
And we got him fucking like naked. So no complaints from me. Yeah. Cause he's like, so like, I think he's great in this. Like, he kind of steals a lot of scenes for me because I, like Dusty pointed out pre-show when we were talking about this, like, he's very charismatic and very charming. So like every scene that he's in, like, it's just nice. So like they did a good job fixing it, but it's just one of those things that I'm like, this is like completely different. To, you could tell that they were like, we're not going to make this like dweeb in here.
They had to work so hard to make Jamie Foxx into an absolute nerd. And like, no one's going to believe Jamie Foxx is a nerd. They had to work so hard to make his buy that an Amazing Spider-Man too.
And we didn't even buy it. I was like, still Jamie Foxx. I know.
I still know who's under there.
I do really like though that they, a big part of once they give you that initial burst of nostalgia with the other two Peter Parkers coming in, it's kind of, I like that they kind of give you a little piece of what you like about each one, like during the fight scene, like obviously in like the big hero shot where they're all posing, like they're all doing a pose from their movie.
Yeah.
They mix all three of their themes in like throughout the fight and the score, like that's really good. And I do like that they still follow those same tones of their personalities. Because, like, we talked about the Raimi movies are more campy. So Toby's, like, still pretty happy. He's like, you know, it took a lot of work, but, like, we're good now. Like, so clearly he's still together with MJ. And then Andrew Garfield.
A terrifying thought that relationship has survived.
I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure it's not toxic. I'm sure it's fine.
Can we see proof of life of her, for God's sakes? Let's not forget he fucking hit her in public.
Yeah, I think we moved past it. They were past it.
And then, and then you get Andrew Garfield saying, like, he turned dark and, like, started, like, pulling punches and stopped pulling punches and stuff. So, like, it's not like everyone came over into the MCU and had the MCU type of personality that Peter Parker has.
Yeah, I like that they really seem to like honor the original works. Like they really were like, we're gonna make this like still feel like you're stepping back into those like old movies that you like fell in love with to begin with.
I loved one of my favorite lines when they're getting ready to fight is Andrew Garfield looking at Tobey Maguire and says, "You're gonna go to battle as a cool youth pastor?" He's got his little like lightweight jacket and like nice blue shirt over khakis. Oh, that killed him.
His Banana Republic fit.
I personally loved the when Ned asked him if he has a best friend, and he's like, "Yeah, but I
dyed my arms."
Well, that was
executed perfectly. That's even more interesting. And Ned.
That's even more interesting too, because Ned Leeds becomes the Hobgoblin, like in the comic, like we talked about.
Yeah,
so which I promise not to turn into a supervillain and try to kill you.
Okay, so I was reading about this a little bit. So, like, no, I don't think anyone knew who Hobgoblin was. They think it was Ned Leeds, but now I think they've retconned it to where it was never Ned Leeds.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever actually see him take off the hood.
No.
Like for 5 to 10 years, you thought it was Ned Leeds because of the reveal of the whole
thing. Yeah, no, they retconned it a while ago.
Which they're obviously leaning into, like he's a sorcerer of some kind.
Yeah, that's what they're changing about the character.
Which because I know it's been like kind of it's been announced that there is going to be another Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm assuming they plan for a trilogy.
Is that the Madame Web and Morbius crossover?
Oh God!
Yeah, they're all teaming up.
Guys like us should team up.
Just said in the most bored voice possible.
While he's like nodding his head because he's in like a like costume, like he's a fucking Muppet. Yeah. We're gonna have to watch those movies. Sorry, fellas. It's gonna have to fucking happen. But
I almost watched Madame Web last night.
I have not seen Madame Web. I don't think I can do that until we have to do it for the show. Yeah. I can't.
That'll be great. You watching a movie for the first time.
Oh, my God.
We need that experience. Yeah, I think... I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, yeah, they're setting up that he's going to be a sorcerer, but I'm curious to see what they do. I think they've said it's a new trilogy, but from what I've read, like...
they want it to be, yeah.
Sony and Marvel are not getting along with what they want to do.
It feels like a very, like, movie-by-movie deal is what they're doing.
Marvel will end up winning in the end because...
Right.
The better the movie does, the more money Sony will make, yeah. So...
Right, and Sony is hanging on by a fucking thread with the shit they're putting out other than the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, because we got Kraven coming up at some point, right? Like, it's not getting better.
All of their movies are Spider-Man adjacent, and they can't even say Peter Parker in the movies.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think I've read that Disney wants to make it more ground level because they're like kind of how this movie ended, where Peter is just fighting crime on the street again, like,
well, and they have and now they've given us Daredevil and on the mix. Yeah. And like we're getting all those other Netflix heroes into the MCU, so like and Kingpin is going to be the mayor. Like they clearly want to do a ground level Spider-Man like team up, which is
amazing.
Yeah,
because that is when I fell in love with Spider-Man. They did those all the time for in the 90s cartoon, like every week Daredevil would show up, or you'd get a small crossover with like Captain America, or
given the nature of how Spider-Man started in the MCU, it didn't start small and get bigger. He started so big. We never got to see street level.
A three movie origin story is, I think, one of my favorite things about what the MCU did, because like we think of all of their big name characters in threes because they all get three movies. Mm-hmm. And we got that with Spider-Man, and it's just to set up the Spider-Man that everyone else knows already.
Yeah.
Right.
So you've told his origin in a way no other Spider-Man story ever had, and you got three extra movies out of it in order to do it. So we never had to get we never saw him get bit by the spider ever. Like it wasn't until this movie that they confirmed he had the same origin as Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, where he got bit by the spider.
Yeah, or Andrew Garfield, where he walked into my literal fucking nightmare of a giant spider room, for God's sakes.
Spider room.
My God. One thing
that no security in the spider room. No security.
No, remember it had that world's most annoying passcode?
You got like move your finger.
It's like one of those koosh balls that you like strings on it. one thing we got a Venom post credit. I have not seen any of the Venom movies, but I really thought that they wasted an opportunity to have Topher Grace be sitting at the bar with him.
That would have
been, that would have been amazing. Instead, we did get Danny Rojas, Football is Life.
Venom. From Ted Lasso.
Yeah. So that was a nice, fun little like cameo.
Well, but you also is there anything about, because the glob is at the bar at the end?
Yeah,
I assume they want to bring Venom over to the MCU.
Yeah.
Is that the
The way that they can explain that away is it's not this. It's still a symbiote, but it's not the same Venom. So like we're not going to see Tom Hardy and Tom Holland as Spider-Man and Venom, but someone else will become Venom, and that's always going to be the next thing. Who is it going to be? Is what's going to be really interesting.
Over Grace.
Give me everyone who played Venom together teaming up.
Because the only people we've seen so far in the only people we've seen so far in the MCU that have been Venom in a comic is Flash Thompson.
Yeah.
And I really don't think they're gonna do that.
Flash Thompson is just like a man who shows up and says waka 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 for 30 seconds on the It's like
I don't think they're gonna go the Agent Venom route and make him.
I don't want more Flash Thompson. Like I think he's good enough. In a side role,
Shorter in this movie. I feel like shorter in this movie. That man,
he's blonde now. It's the hair.
Yeah, the blonde. That I almost just said something.
I also don't understand because they couldn't get an MIT because they're his friends. He's like, yeah, because we're actually friends with Spider-Man. The MIT lady doesn't know.
I wrote that down too. Yeah,
she wrote the book on Spider-Man. Like, she doesn't know. Oh, they didn't actually hang out in high school. She's not there. She's the MIT admissions lady. What does she know?
Yeah, I wrote that down as well. I also wrote down that it would have been funny if they did the sling ring to find Peter Parker and they just found some random like accountant named Peter Parker like working the sling ring, and he's like, what the fuck is this?
Well, remember, it only shows Dude is stressed.
Remember, it only shows Peter Parker that are Spider-Man.
Oh, got it.
Ned's the one looking, right? So he's right. Like, I'm looking for Spider-Man Peter Parker.
Oh, yeah. But still would have been funny, though. I
like that they did you got that, because I don't know what Green Goblin fight I like better, because I love the apartment fight. Like, mm-hmm. He's absolutely just getting destroyed, getting body slammed through what was it, like 8 floors of concrete. Yeah. Like,
and then he finally gets out and that fucking lizard man throws him right back into the building. Yeah. Like, what an asshole.
Like, oh no, we God forgot damn. That he was unsupervised out there. Why did he run the van by himself?
And then he's like steps on his like head and slams it against the rock. He's getting absolutely destroyed.
He definitely has some CG.
That's the first time he's had to like fight hand to hand like that, right?
Oh yeah, like, and like unprepared, like because he thought he had this situation under control. But thank God they had that one piece of equipment that could cure every single villain somehow in that one building.
the fabricator.
Right.
His monologue when he like turns is good, right? When his spider sense starts going off and he can't figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I forgot what happened in the first one. I thought it was the lizard because you saw him like start to do stuff. And so I was like, oh, he gets out, because I couldn't remember from the first time I watched it. And I was like, oh, that's right. I completely fell for it again and was like,
yeah,
oh,
the lizard no. mostly lizard right. is kind of unfortunately mostly like comic relief, because we talked about this. I don't like that lizard. I wanted him to look like he does in the comic with the bright purple pants and lab coat.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And where's like our old man Vulture? That's a good point, Monty. Where's our old man or Mr. Burns Vulture? Let's do it.
Like I did think it was funny. Wait,
what's his name? I just wrote Mr. Lizard. What's his name?
Kurt Connors.
I'm trying to look.
Mr. Lizard.
I didn't know that's
Godzilla's formal name. You probably just got a bunch of Godzilla.
Please. My father was my Mr. father. Lizard. Call me Godzilla.
Call me Godzilla.
Ooh, he's ugly.
I do like how they just straight up were just making fun of him. Like, you're the one that you want to turn everyone into lizards. He's like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
I can show you a real evolution. Yeah. Trying to turn him into a lizard. Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, there's no way that's his girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm really curious what they end up doing with like MJ and Ned go moving forward, if they like
cut
go Ned. Off to MIT.
Cut Ned. I'm done with that. Cut.
Yeah, like MJ's clearly still gonna be involved because she's still wearing the piece of the necklace.
Yeah.
Which means like that is important to her. She just must not necessarily fully get why, but like
it's like this just been like welded to my neck. I don't really
yeah, where did I get this from?
She really like she feels some type of way about it. So I assume I'm hoping, like, I doubt they're this patient, but like, I hope she doesn't remember throughout like the next movie, and then in the fifth one, I feel like I'd be ready for her to like, but like, cause she can be in the fourth one, right? But like, how much is she gonna be in it if they don't let her get her memory back or whatever? Yeah.
So I feel like they have to do it the next one, like halfway through the next one. It's almost when I feel like they kind of have to do it.
I guess it'll be a while before we get it too, because it's already been 3 years since this movie. So yeah, by the time they circle back, if they're doing another trilogy, we wouldn't see her for like
I would rather them 8 years. Because I don't like I don't like rushing it, because to me it makes it more. Like, I think she should be in it, but from afar. I don't think she should like remember until like.
See, I think a post credit scene.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like because it makes me think of like the handling of like the Book of Boba Fett and the Mandalorian, like season 3, where like Grogu, I wish it did not come back because he was like useless in season 3. And I'm like, oh man, it would have been so much more dramatic if they were away from each other for a long period of time. And I know they try to say that it's been like a few years, but I'm like,
yeah,
make it even longer and make Grogu show up at like the last fight, because that would at least explain why his powers are so much stronger, and like it makes it more emotional. And to me, I like I think I would like it to not immediately be rectified within an hour of seeing that. Like, I wish it, I want to see him tormented over this.
Well, I think my thing is she didn't find out till the second movie this time around. And then we had them together for a movie. Mm-hmm. If the next movie is then not only she doesn't know for the entire movie, but then also the whole time is like, once again, taking pictures of her from afar. And he's like, oh, MJ. Oh man. Oh, what we had. I don't want to see, like, I know they MCU does a good job and they would not like ruin this, but I don't want to see a movie of him pining over her when we had to wait two movies for them to get together in the first place. It'd almost be like, okay, we've got this. It starts off somewhere halfway through the movie. She finds out. Maybe you reverse it a little bit because Ned so much has been like, well, I knew first. MJ finds out first. Ned finds out in the second movie. Something right, like yeah. that. You reverse That's those roles. Enough. Like, I wouldn't. Yeah. I think I would prefer that. I feel like waiting again just because I don't want like emo Peter Parker being like, oh, my girlfriend, I'm so sad. Like, I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, and it's tough. Well, I mean, unless like they did it in a way where they just have to like work together in some capacity because of MIT doing something with something that he's doing or some shit. Like, because that would at least like have them have interactions without like have her. I don't know. I still would like a slow kind of burn with it, but I don't want it to be that he only knows her from afar. I get what you're saying. That does start to feel creepy.
Yeah.
But like it would be, I just think it would be nice to at least like, I don't know, draw it out a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a big, like, depending on where they go from, like, what direction, because, like, I've all that stuff in the air, if they're going to still do, like, it's going to be around Kang, or are they going to pivot now?
Yeah.
Or, like, recast, or just completely pivot from the character in general. But it'll be nice that we're going to get Spider-Man content that is more grounded while they start, you know, playing up bigger, like cosmic heroes. Like, we're getting Fantastic Four, you know, we're getting, but we're going to be getting another Doctor Strange soon. So like,
it's at some point, nice. The Young Avengers, right? Which
they'll yeah, they're building
right. Young Avengers. I don't know how they're going to do all of this. Like, this is a lot of, like, and this is the.
I feel like we're talking 15 years down the road at this point.
Right. I mean, that's my concern, is because everybody's complaining that they're like, I just don't care about these characters that much. And part of the problem is there's too many of them. That like you can't get an emotional connection, because like you think about like the first couple of phases, like there were only like four, maybe like, okay, so the first phase, it was like what, three different characters that had separate movies. I guess you could count the Incredible Hulk, but it was not the Hulk that we ended up.
They clearly do not, but yeah.
Right. But like, yeah. But like they have these three characters that they are making you focus on in Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. And then that continues, and then you add a couple more, but now they're adding like 30 in a phase, and you're like, okay, well, we all also still have like the Guardians that are still floating around. So like, I think the MCU is going to have a hard time allowing people to have emotional connections with newer characters.
And yeah, because it was like, disappointed. It was grown organically too. Like even like Black Widow. And I know you didn't like her and how she was presented in Iron Man 2, but that's at least a character like from the comics. You drop into a movie, you build that character slowly. Whereas now the next one is going to be like, here's a Fantastic Four. You know them from the comics. We've not seen them before. The first time I think we're going to see them is in there. So that is, yeah, they grew that organically. And now it's kind of like, you trust us. Do you trust us? Like, you're going to be on board because we are MCU, where you know, like, some of these characters instead of,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Building. Because even, like, what's her face from Multiverse of Madness, right? Like, America Ferrera. Like, she's going to be in, not America Ferrera. I don't think that's right. Like,
what the fuck are you talking about?
That's not correct.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, superheroes.
But yeah. Yeah, you know, from Barbie. Yeah. I can't remember what her name was.
America Chavez.
Yes, America Chavez. Yeah. We're talking about her, like, she'll probably be Young Avengers, right?
Oh, yeah, for
seen
sure.
Her. I forgot about it. See, and I just
but she's not much of her. Like, she's not, like, her character isn't, like, I guess you get enough of her in Multiverse of Madness, but you don't have, like, a connection to her. But that's probably going to be the next time, like, you've got a connection to her. Like, well, not really, and she wasn't that big in the comics.
They do a good enough job of making sure that you know that, like, she's going to be important going forward, even though if you don't know a ton about her in the intro.
Right, but like I completely forgot about her. Like I honestly forgot that she was out in this world right now. Completely forgot.
She got that cool jacket. She got a cool denim jacket.
Yep. But like that, and that's the problem. There's so many characters to keep track of at this point that I just think it's going to be very difficult to have 30 characters and have the same. Like if they're trying to go for the same, I mean, I know they're obviously trying to go for the Infinity War Endgame type of vibes. Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot harder to manage when you're talking double, triple.
We're never going to be able to recreate. Never going to be able to recreate that first right. feeling. So like,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
I don't think they should chase it. Like, I think I'm obviously it's fine if they want these sagas to end in big event films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cause that has to happen to close a chapter and open a new one.
Right. Right.
But I'm glad they're not trying to necessarily make you feel like you did the first time you saw Infinity War and Endgame. Cause they know that's not possible. So what they're going to try to do is give you better characters that will make you want to keep watching. Because, I mean, yeah, there are some people that probably really don't watch much of anything after Endgame because they think it should end there. But when you get...
Well, I think the problem is, like, people expect it to be, you immediately to be loving these characters. And it's like, it was a slow build for the, like, people just forget. Like, it because someone that just watched this, like, to begin with, like, I remember tweeting out when I was live watching, like, when I was watching them through, and I was like, I see everybody's, like, obsessed with Loki, but, like, I don't get it. And I was already, like, through Thor 2, and I was like, this is not a likable character. Like,
you got
like,
through Thor 2 and then like him? That's crazy. That's crazy.
Like, I didn't know where this was going, and then Ragnarok happens, and then the show Loki, which just makes you completely fall in love with him, and I'm like... It's a slow burn, and I'm worried that the MCU is not going to have that amount of time to let these people connect with the characters, and that people are going to be disappointed. And I hope that it doesn't turn into fucking Sony Morbius bullshit that like is just like one-offs. But I mean, you'll always have like the X-Men and Fantastic Four and Spider-Man, which people are going to love automatically. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That's my take on. The amount, there's just going to be a lot of saturation, and they keep delaying stuff and are saying we're going to do less. So it should be interesting to see how long it takes for us to get another Avengers movie.
Yeah. And what that even looks like at this point, right? Like we still haven't seen outside of the very end of Falcon and Winter Soldier. We still haven't seen Captain America, what the new Captain right. America like series looks like, right? Like a lot of that stuff is just, we just don't know how this is going to look. We don't even know who's going to be involved.
Haven't seen Blade yet.
We heard his voice last week.
Yeah, right.
That's literally as much as we've gotten.
Best part of that movie.
Agree to disagree.
Who are you?
I was going to say, you better read the room. Things have changed.
I'm done. I quit. Yeah, I'm not gonna have you disrespect the Eternals this way.
How dare you?
Not anymore.
Lifelong fan.
Do you guys anybody have any last notes on this one? Should we rate it, or do you guys have anything else you want to bring up?
I like the moment when they make fun of the fact that his name is Dr. Otto Octavius. Oh, yeah. that always gives me a chuckle. Zendaya is just so great. Zendaya is great. She's got a number of moments in this.
That's one of those moments where
she's throwing the toilet paper out or the bread. It's like, stop throwing bread at me.
That's one of those moments that helps you remember that they're teenagers, because that kids would laugh at someone being named that. Like,
right. At the end, she mouths to him, "I love you," and he doesn't fucking say it back.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that a red after our red conversation? Flag. Isn't that a red flag if he says
red that? Flag? Good thing you're good. Fucking forgetting it.
Well, no, he's getting run. No, he's getting ready to, right? And she's like, "No, say it when we see."
Yeah, she said, each other he, "Say it when we, yeah, next time we see each other."
Yeah, he's respecting her wishes.
I don't even hear because she mouths it. I don't think he says that they say anything after that.
He was getting ready.
Oh, too. Earlier, but then so she says it again, and so he still.
So he was like, "Well, like, just I'll wait."
That's right. You're right. I forgot. So I take.
Yeah, it we're not going to do is besmirch the good day, the good name of MJ Watson. We're not doing that. Yeah.
I'm not besmirching her name. I was just besmirching Peter Parker's name. That's of fair. Being like, she says, "I love you," and he's like, "Bye."
Oh, I guess my one last thing. Well, the apartment he's in at the end, is that the same dingy apartment that Tobey Maguire's in?
That's what I thought.
It looks the exact same, right?
It's not the same one, but they did a very good job of giving you that exactly flash to it. It makes like you feel like
it's the same broken door. It looks like the same amount of area. The bed. I half expected
that girl landlord still? With
the cakes, like the
cookies. Yeah. It's very close, obviously, like by design.
Yeah,
and like,
but I love like that he. I love that he had the, like the police scanner, because like that's something from the comics. I love that he had the, you know, kept the Lego Palpatine,
yeah,
and From MJ. He kept
the coffee. How did he get mug. That stuff? Did he Spider-Man break into May's it. Apartment? Yeah, because yeah. nobody knows that he lives
taking
there.
This.
Yeah, he just breaks in. yeah, I love the suit. Like, I love the bright blue. But why, like, did he not have access to the nanotech suit anymore?
Well, no, because Peter Parker, like, well, that suit got basically destroyed, number one. But number two is he doesn't have access to anything, because remember when he even tried to scan for the MIT person, like, Peter Parker's not recognized in any database.
Oh, right. So, like, he would not be recognized. The suit would be like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, he's not going to have access to anything. So that's why, yeah, he had to sew his own.
Karen would be like, excuse me? Sending drone to
yeah. You put that suit on and then you're dead 2 minutes later. Oh, yeah. You're the Spider-Man. But he was cooked from the inside out. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, like, I thought that was so cool that we finally get, like, comic accurate Spider-Man costume. Finally, he's swinging through, like, downtown New York City. And that's that moment where you feel like, oh, now we're getting Spider-Man. Like,
so he's much better at sewing a costume than Tobey Maguire's first attempt.
Yes.
Like, good for him. You know, he learned some lessons along the way.
Yeah, I really hope that Marvel wins this dispute with Sony, and I hope that they get to do more ground level stuff, because I think that's something that I am ready. I think I'm getting a little tired of the, like, it's the end of the world if you don't fucking fix this situation. So I kind of am, like, looking forward to the idea that, like, Spider-Man is just going to do, like, regular stuff.
Yeah.
So I hope.
I mean, we need Spider-Man and Kingpin as, like, the two protagonist, antagonist. Like, we needed.
It felt like it was getting too big for that. MCU was getting too big for that. But now with the scale down, it's like, okay, this is on the table. This is likely going to happen now, which is going to be great.
Because they're going to just have other people that can also be doing the big stuff at the same time. So, like, it doesn't always need to be.
Well, it's like, yeah, like what Monty was saying, where now we've gotten more cosmic, right? We've got Fantastic Four in the mix. Like, we've got these big, like, space traveling superheroes. That was the big thing in this one. I love the moment where he's like, I went to space, and Andrew Garfield's like, man, I want to go to space. It's not like,
right.
They didn't do that. That's not Spider-Man's place to be in space. Right. His place is on the ground. And so if you can get, are they doing, what's his face as Punisher? Are they bringing him into this as well? I think they're bringing him back into some of the TV show stuff, right?
Yeah. Well,
all of those shows are now canon. So if they want to bring Punisher in, like,
I think I've heard that they are.
God, if they get a movie with Spider-Man, Daredevil, then Bernthal as Punisher with Kingpin.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, incredible. My gosh. That's like my child. I fell in love with comics because of that stuff right there. Yeah. That'd be incredible.
Bernthal's reprisal of his Punisher role was announced in March 2023.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. So yep.
In Daredevil. He's coming back in Daredevil.
Yeah, they're planning on using him in some capacity.
Yeah. Yep. Which I have to catch up on that shit. I have not watched any of that.
Oh, those are great.
That Punisher run. Those two seasons of Punisher. God, so, like, good. They're probably my favorite of the shows, the Netflix shows they did. Like, those two seasons of Punisher are good.
He's really good in Daredevil season three, too, though.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's amazing in that when they introduce him, because he's, like, a major part of that. And then they spin it off and give him his own two-season run, which was really cool.
Yeah, and I read something about on Daredevil the other day, because they did a bunch, they completely, like, scrapped a lot of what they did.
Yeah,
they redid it, but they had originally left out, like, two characters from the original show, and they since brought them back and said that has made, like, a huge difference, so that it actually has the same vibes as the show. So we have that to look forward to.
All right, so we'll review this one. Aaron, will let you go first.
As for, like, a standalone, this has got to be a pretty low one, because if you have not seen anything, this is not going to make any fucking sense. So I'll give it, like, a 4. Like, I think you'll still have fun, like, because it's just a fun movie. That's, I mean, obviously there's some serious moments, but I think of this movie as kind of like goofy fun. But if you literally woke up from a coma and watched this, you'd be like, 25 years you've been in a coma, you wake up, you're like, what the hell is this? I have no idea what's going on. So 3 or 4. But as for this movie, I think it's good. I think it's very like average, above average MCU. So I will give it like a 7. I think that's pretty good. Like, it's fun. It's a good movie. But I don't like it as good as the first two of these Spider-Man movies. I think I like the stories better. I really love that second one. I can't believe that one is one of the more like not liked movies of this trilogy. That blows my mind. So yeah, I'll give it like a 7, probably a 7.5, something like that. But I would say just 7 because Dusty yells at me whenever I pick a fucking decimal. So I'll say 7.
And not a 0.5, but you're doing like 7.63.
Yeah, you were going like 0.3s.
One time I said that. Yeah, we had like 9.9. I think I said 9.9.
We had to stop that.
Yeah. Immediately bully her out of it.
Yeah, that's right. It's not that's gonna show. I'm probably along the same lines. I think as a standalone, it's a spectacle for all the stuff they have. But you have to have not even just the movies, like some knowledge of who these characters are. Cause it's like, I'm gonna fix this guy made a sand. Like, it's not like you can step into some of these movies like an action movie. This one I feel like you need to have a little more going in. So I'll give it a 5 for an actual movie. And again, this is to me where some of the stuff starts with, like, some of the scenes look muddy and a little dingy. It's not quite as crisp looking as some of the other ones we've seen. I think that starts to set in here a little bit as well. And then for Marvel one, I'll do a 7 as well. Like, it's like I said, my complaints, a lot of it is it's people doing dumb stuff for no reason that flies in the face of their character, but you got to drive the plot forward somewhere, but it's so dumb the way they get to this stuff. It's too fan servicey by half, where I think the first two movies were good at like referencing things without too winky. There's no subtlety with this stuff. Like that stuff gets on my nerves. But again, seeing Defoe is amazing. Like, just ham it up. We just got through the fight scene where Peter's just wailing on his face, and he's got that moment where Defoe just like smiles,
he's laughing,
terrifying.
Oh my gosh,
Joker, like Joker style.
Just absolutely tremendous. Molina's great. It's a fun movie, but I just think as far as the writing or the execution or even just like the main points driving the plot just feel like so sloppy and half thought out that it bothers me every time I watch it. So I'll give it a 7 because it's fun. It's fine. I don't think it's anything groundbreaking in this. I certainly think the first two are way, way better than this.
Yeah. I wish, because there's so much potential here. Cause I'm with you on that. Like, because I love the idea. Like, I love the idea of what this does of bringing in all of these together. I just feel like, it was a little lazy in parts of, like, again, like, why are they this one thing? The only tool that they need just happens to be in Happy's apartment. It's like the only thing in his apartment.
Happens to have the arc reactor, which is an insane amount of energy. And we're going to bring this guy who has been talking fairly nefariously about stealing energy into the apartment
the whole time.
Right.
It's like, man, this energy is great. Love this planet.
He needs his next pick.
Wish I could find more energy. This energy on this planet is great. Should we bring him into the apartment with us, do you think?
Right. Is there some sort of miniature super reactor?
Right. And it's like, at the very least, they could have just brought that machine to Doctor Strange's like basement or whatever the hell they're in.
Yeah, now put this thing in his cage. We have developed what's going to contain it.
Right.
Put it on him in his cage, and then we'll wait till it clicks, and then we'll send him home.
Like, I just feel it could have been better put together, because the idea of this movie is very fun. It's awesome seeing all of them united, because, like, especially like Montague pointed out, that scene of just them posing in their own little poses, like the little touches, like they really cared about the original works, and I love that detail. I keep saying, like, I love this movie except for the plot, which sounds terrible, but I just don't I like the plot. I just don't like how it's executed. I'll just say that.
No.
So that's,
I'm gonna go. Yeah, I'm gonna go as a standalone movie. It's tough. Like, it's not, you can't just pick this up and watch it. So I'll give that a 6.5. Just kidding. I'll give it a 6.
Fuck you.
I'll give that a 6 for all the reasons.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Give those fucking decimals. That's
for all the reasons you guys said. Like, yeah, I mean, you obviously have to have enough of a backstory and know who some of these characters are. Like, otherwise, you'd feel like Ned, and you would think that was, like, the lizard was a dinosaur. I'd be like, why is there a dinosaur in this movie?
In a box. But, like,
as a comic book movie and as somebody that love Spider-Man. Like, I can't give any movie that has three Spider-Men in it less than an 8. So I'm gonna bump it to a 9 though, only because, like, if you would have told me back when Spider-Man came out in 2000 that we were gonna one day have a movie with three different Peter Parkers, all as Spider-Man, fighting on the screen at the same time, and it wasn't animated, mm-hmm. I'd have been like, that's probably not ever gonna happen. So, like, to see something that I never thought I would see, and like got to see it have a huge budget, and they did it mostly right, like you said, like, I think what they sacrificed as far as they gave too many things plot armor, or everything was a plot device. Mm-hmm. They explained that stuff away too easily so they could focus on bringing in the nostalgia, which is like, I can't complain that they gave me a lot of fan service when I'm a fan, right?
Like, right.
They gave me a lot of stuff that I said, that is awesome and badass that they showed that, but then also made me say, yeah, but that was kind of on purpose. But like, that's what I want, though. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not perfect. I'm not giving it a 10. And I fully admit a 9 is too high, but that's the way it makes me feel when I watch this movie.
Yeah.
So I'm giving it a 9. I have fun every time I watch this.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, that is one thing about it. It's a lot of fun.
This was as probably we like watch my, May this had die to be like on the screen in front of us. Aaron's like, oh, it's so much fun.
It's so much fun. It's like part. Honestly one of the most heartbreaking deaths in the MCU. Like, it's executed very well, and it's very awful. Because Tom Holland's acting is really, really great in that scene. Like, you feel his emotions. It's like the exact same emotions that you felt when Iron Man died of, like, and this poor kid, he's just been through hell.
Yeah, he's lost a lot in his last two appearances.
Yeah. Well, now he's going to go hang out on top of a school. As you do. That's all teens do.
At least smoke some weed or something. Right.
Be cool, for God's sakes.
So we'll be back next week if all goes according to plan.
Are you doing X-Men?
Yeah, I think we're starting from the OG. We're jumping. X-Men. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going all the way back to 2000, I believe.
Something like that. 1999, maybe.
2000 sounds right. Until someone's
birthday. No, 2000.
Yep. 2000. Yep. 2000. Yep. So yeah, we're going in the Wayback Machine again. And this is, again, MCU doesn't happen without these X-Men movies, because that was Kevin Feige's first superhero movie that he worked on, was this original X-Men. So
he's really living the dream.
He is, like, he's doing exactly what every kid wants to do when they grow up reading comics. Like,
oh, I'm sure. Getting to create these stories.
He's literally now in charge of the universe he was reading as a kid. So that's got to be cool. Yeah, so all goes according to plan. We'll be back next week, and we will be starting on the X-Men. So we will see you guys next Saturday.